Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello and welcome to another Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily podcast with me, Andy Goldstein. And what a podcast we have got coming your way. We begin with Jim and Natalie. Their guest was Glenn Johnson, and he was talking about the responsibility of stopping a game and walking off shouldn't be down to England players ahead of their Bulgaria clash.
Apparently a fan got chucked out for racially abusing Raheem. I think a few guys are expecting something similar in the next game. So there's a lot of talk whether the lads are going to walk off the pitch. But to be honest, I don't think the players should have to make that decision. I personally wouldn't want to walk off. But obviously if my teammates did, then obviously I'd support them and we'd all walk off together. But I think it should be someone above, maybe someone from UEFA. If anyone can hear that sort of abuse, then they should be the ones to stop the game and usher the lads off the pitch so that the pressure's not on the players to make the decision. At the end of the day, they just want to play football.
Mm. So you don't think the players themselves should be forced into making a decision? I mean, Gareth is saying they're going to hold talks before the match, and he's actually saying we're not confident that we'll go there and nothing will happen. Mm. So already there's a feeling of pessimism going into it.
Yeah, exactly. I just think the lads just want to play the game. I don't think there should be any more pressure on them whether they want to walk off the pitch or stay on the pitch. Because, you know, it's like, if they do walk off, then there's going to be half the people out there are going to criticise them and half the people are going to support what they've done. So either way, they're not going to really win. I just think the pressure should be taken away from them, that if anyone hears it, then somebody above can make the call and stop the game and pull the lads off. Just take the heat off them a little bit.
And you think that somebody above should be UEFA? You think an UEFA official should sit there and say, okay, that is enough.
Yeah.
The line's been crossed.
If the lads can hear it, they can hear it. It's as simple as that. So therefore then, like I say, take the pressure and the limelight off the players and stop the game, and then the lads can't get criticised afterwards or whatever. Because like I say, at the end of the day, they're trying to do their job and concentrate on the game.
We were discussing it here in the office before we came on air, and I know it was just mentioned about, should England even be going to Bulgaria? Should they be making a stand before they've even set foot there? What do you think on that? Is that too far? Do they still need to get on with their job?
Yeah, I think they still need to get on with their job. And at the moment, nothing's happened. So in terms of that game itself, so I know this one guy, and unfortunately we always get that one somewhere, but hopefully there won't be an issue, but I just think you need to turn up, go and do the right, have the right intentions, play the game, and then if something happens, then like I say, then somebody from UEFA should be able to put a hand up and say enough's enough and pull them off.
Did you ever have any discussions about what you could do if something was heard when you were playing? Because we've heard it a lot now about players saying they might walk off, that might be something they consider. Did you ever have any of those discussions?
No, I didn't. It's probably The period where it spoke about most was probably during Liverpool time when Raheem was there. Raheem was getting quite a lot of stick. And I remember Sean Wright, Phillips got quite a lot of stick a few years before that. Me personally, I never really had an issue with it. Obviously, I had a couple of instances, but nothing sort of major. In terms of course, people say to the players, if you do feel uncomfortable, you can walk off, blah, blah, blah. But it's because no one's really done it. No one sort of wants to be that sort of first one. And you've seen issues in before. It's in Italy, for example, when the teammates are trying to keep the player on the pitch. So I don't know. It's just awkward to watch, isn't it? No player should be out there if they feel uncomfortable.
Next up, we can hear from Ian Abrahams, aka the Moose, who is actually called the Moose because once in a sit-in for dinner, he ate a moose. Anyway, he caught up with Jamie Carragher talking about a two-horse race, which is also something he's eaten.
They're the two best teams, aren't they? And I said last week after the Burnley game with Liverpool that they're not just the two best teams in the Premier League, they're the two best teams in Europe, I feel, at this moment. And I'd be very surprised if one of them aren't in the Champions League final. Who knows, could be a final between the two, because as I said, at this moment, I think they are the top two. City with I think City are just slightly ahead of Liverpool. They've proven that in the league last year, but obviously Liverpool made up with getting the Champions League. And as I said, I'm sure if you'd offer both clubs a reversal of that this season, they'd bite your hand off.
Now we can head over to the Alan Brazil Sports Breakfast Show, or the ABSB, as they call it here at Talk Sport. Spencer Oliver was on the show and he was talking about Rob McCracken and how he found it strange that he's come out and said what he said. Now, you're probably thinking, what did he say? Well, just hold on a minute, you'll hear it now. God, dear.
I'm a little bit confused by the whole situation, because, you know, if you knew he was concussed, well, why didn't you pull him out? As simple as that. And that's my thoughts on it. Yeah. But then I know Rob McCracken, I know the relationship that he's got with Joshua, and it's close. You know, they're very close. It's more than just a trainer-boxer relationship. You know, they've got a great friendship there. So it's a strange one. I'm surprised that he's made those comments.
Now we can head over to Drive Time. Adrian Durham was joined by a very special guest. The son of the legendary film actress Scarlett O'Hara was alongside Big Aid, and he and Jamie spoke about 3G pitches.
Yeah, I wanted to bring this to, you know, today because basically I wanted to talk about 3G pitches because you can't play in League 2. You can't get promoted from the National League into League 2 with a 3G pitch. Now, the reason I'm saying it is because you've got Harrogate, Bromley, Sutton United. Now, Bromley are flying in National League right now and they're looking to go up, and they've got an owner who wants to spend some money. If they get promoted, he's got to rip up the 3G pitch and put a grass pitch down. There's been talk of it in our league as well, in the Conference South. We wanted to do, you know, looking at ways to, how can we get more money into the football club?
And, you're a Billericay, right?
Billericay, and trying to get more community people into the football club. 3G, you rent it out. You can make 5 to 10 grand a week on a renting out a 3G pitch. Now, when you see the likes of Bury and Bolton going out of business, how are these clubs meant to make money at that level without, you know, the 30, 40,000 fans? They can make money from 3G pitches, but if they invest in a 3G pitch and they want to have the belief and the drive to get into the Football League, when they get to the Football League, they can't go up. So how does that make sense?
Do you know what, I think it's a great point. And when you put it like that, that say Bromley, Sutton, Harrogate, if they do get promoted, and I think Sutton were in the playoffs last season,
yeah,
if they get promoted, they have to physically rip up the pitch and lay a grass pitch, a turf pitch. I find that absolutely extraordinary. And I agree with you, it needs a rethink, but I'm assuming you've played on these pitches.
Yeah.
I mean, can you make a sliding tackle without getting burned? Is it like a normal pitch?
Now they are. I mean, we played on one last season at Billericay. We had a problem with our pitch. We ended up playing at Aveley, and Aveley's pitch was amazing. I mean, they roll it out. It's like Wembley. It's got lines in it and everything. Like, it's brilliant. The pitches now, it's not like the old ones where it was like you can turn your ankles on them when you're playing them. These are proper pitches now. And if you see some of the pitches in League 2, they're terrible. So, you know, the new pitches that are going down, and this is why I think people should look at it, is one, the clubs can make money from it. You don't need a training ground because you've got the facilities at the stadium. So again, you're not wasting money, and you're seeing so many clubs now struggling financially. The only problem is that any new proposal would require the support of majority of the EFL's 72 member clubs. So they've all got to agree to it. Now, I think that is where the clubs come together and be like, how can we help some of these National League clubs and these clubs that want to try and get into the league, help them out? How can we get investing money and getting more community people, more fans to come and watch their teams play?
I think, and the fact that these clubs, and I was at Sutton last season on their cup run. Mm-hmm. I think it was it against Wimbledon or was it the season before? I can't remember. But I looked at the pitch and I was asking questions about the pitch and how the community used it. And that, for me, is one of the keys.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what the weather is. You can still use that pitch. It won't cut it up for the game on the Saturday that the first team play. So for me, there's so many positives with it. The flip side of it is, and let me put this to you, if you get loads of clubs laying these pitches, And it turns out that over the course of, say, the next 5 to 10 years, all the positives with these pitches, which I'm hearing, you're making absolute sense. But if you end up with these pitches at every single club in even the Championship, League One, League Two, National League, and further down as well, is that going to be a good thing? Could we end up in a situation maybe 10, 15 years' time where there are no grass pitches at all, and would that be good?
No, listen, no one wants that. I mean, you want to play on grass, but when you've got big clubs that can afford it, they have the facilities, they have it, but then there's other clubs that are trying to get there and trying to build and trying to create a future for their football club. They don't have the money, they don't have the investment, they haven't had the infrastructure of 30, 40 years of history. So they need the help, that, and the 3G can offer them that. So that's why I think that they can come in and they can put a pitch down and they can progress into the Football League with that pitch, but also being able to make money for the football club.
It is extraordinary. Bromley are a point off the top, which is
flying.
Absolutely amazing what they're doing. Bearing in mind where they came from, I know you've seen the film Bromley Boys, they're absolutely nothing. Now they're on the brink, if they have a good run between now and the end of the season, on the brink of the Football League. Extraordinary. I think it's a subject a lot of people will be listening to and thinking, actually, yeah, he's got a point. It is unfair. These clubs have been talking about this for a little while, that they would have to rip up their pitches, and getting the message out there, maybe those clubs who make this decision, who have a vote, might just rethink.
Now, oh dear, you're probably wondering why I'm laughing, don't I? Oh, this is such a funny story from breakfast.
I haven't heard it yet.
Sotirius, who run the place, is sitting there.
Fergie's mate.
Fergie's best pal, big gambler, loves a bet. He's sitting there with this little guy. So he said, come and sit with us, Harry. So I sit down. He said, this is Lee Topless, the jockey. Hello, Lee. I said, how you doing? I said, you know, you're an apprentice with Richard Fahey, doing very well. Yeah. He said, I'm riding plenty of winners, blah, blah. I said, what are you doing down here? He said, I'm riding work tomorrow at Newmarket. And he gave me a couple of trainers' names. It was anyway, he turns up at Tottenham next week. We've got a European Cup game and he comes, he's outside, wants a ticket. I get him in. He's in the dressing room after getting Gareth Bale's shirt, Modric shirt. He's getting all his shirts signed. Anyway, for 5 years, he told me...
5 years?
Lee Topless, the jockey. So he's ringing, Harry, have a few quid on this today. All right, OK, nowhere. Harry, can you do me a favour? I've got to go out to... ride work for Godolphin out to Dubai. I've got no money. I've got my wages coming next week. Could you lend me £500 for a week? Yeah, sure. Okay, Lee. Yeah, but Jim. All right. He's got me for 5 years. Eventually, one day, we're taking him out for dinner after football. He turns up at Chelsea. I'll get him in the box next to Roman Abramovich's box. We get on the King's Road after me, Kevin Bond, Joe Jordan, Clive Allen. We're having dinner. He's there, little Stevie, a little Lee, as we thought he was, Lee Topless. He's ordering everything he can eat, double tiramisu, drinking red wine like it's water. I went, you're riding tomorrow, Lee. Are you going to be all right? Yeah, he said, don't worry. So I run round the track twice. I put a sweatsuit on. Oh, OK, I'll believe all this. Eventually, I'll get a phone call from a mate. Eventually, I'll get a phone call from a mate of mine. He says, Harry, you still speaking to that Lee Topless, the jockey? Yeah, I said, I'll speak to him. I said, never gives me a winner. I said, he's used. He said, well, he ain't Lee Topless. He said, he works in a pub in Newmarket collecting glasses.
No.
Right? So I ring Sotirius now, who's
introduced him, yeah.
I said, you still seeing Lee Topless, Sotirius? Nah, he said, he comes in here for free dinners all the time, he said. I'm fed up. I keep giving him dinner. He drinks all the best wine. He said, he gives me nothing but losers. I said, well, he ain't Lee Topless. I said, and I told him the story. He said, that's amazing. Because 2 weeks ago, he signed with Fergie at Doncaster Races. We're in the paddock. I looked number six, Lee Topless. I went, hiya, Lee. He said... He looked at me as though he'd never seen me before. I said, that's because he hadn't.
I'm Paul Hawksby, and this is TalkSport Daily.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
And staying with breakfast, we can hear from Jason Gillespie, who would certainly listen if England came calling. Well, it depends how loud they shout, I suppose.
I'll be honest, I haven't thought about it. Look, Harmy, it's lovely and very humbling to be, you know, my name to be thrown around as a potential candidate. But look, you know, look, if someone gave me a call and wanted to have a coffee and have a chat, then look, I'm open to having a conversation. But, you know, at the moment, my focus is on Sussex and the Strikers.
Staying with England, and Steve Harmison, or Harmy, was talking about Jason Gillespie and Harmy, or Steve Harmison, or Hammy, no, that wouldn't work, doesn't think he's the right man to take over England. Well, of course not. That's Boris Johnson, isn't it?
I've played against him, I've played for him, and I think he's got the perfect life for him. He coaches Sussex 6 months of the year, goes back home, has a month off either side, the big bash. I think it's a job that he doesn't want. I don't believe that Jason Gillespie would want, because of where his family life is at this moment in time. It would take a massive offer to get somebody like Jason Gillespie. But there's other people throwing the hat in the ring, and you know, you've got Otis Gibson, who's been in the England setup before. Mickey Arthur, who's just coached Pakistan, and he's, you know, a seasoned campaigner as an international coach, but also got, you know, coaches from within. You've got Chris Silverwood, and you've got possibly Paul Collingwood, who are actually in this system. But do England need a new voice? That's the big question. People are saying the same things, but just, you know, a different voice.
Staying with cricket. Excuse me. We can hear from Guy Swindles now. He was... a lot of cricket in the show. Here's with Josh Butler. And then straight after that, we can head over to TalkSport 2 and hear, oh dear, Harmy's review of the day. What's that? We've got the tour of South Africa. Great, I love cricket.
Butler's on strike and he drives in way, way back. Beautiful, clean hit. And made to look almost absurdly easy by Butler.
With the new ball being not too far away, I thought this would be the easier time to try and score, and also to try and have some fun. You know, I think batting's been sort of quite hard work for this summer and not particularly enjoyable. So, to sort of try and take the shackles off and try and play with a bit more of a smile on my face.
And there you are with Jack Leach, your old mucker.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously a great mate from the beginning, so it's nice to play with him out in the middle, and he's trying to bat like Trez out there, isn't he?
So match situation, what's the plans for tomorrow?
No, we just got to try and make it, you know, push on and get as big a score as we can. I don't think the wicket has been an absolute belter. Obviously with Australia choosing to bowl, they certainly didn't think it would be, so there's been a little bit of movement, a little bit of swing. I think it's a good cricket wicket. If you bowl well, you can get rewards, but I think if you bat well and apply yourself, there's runs to be had. So we'll hopefully get a few more in the morning and then look to bowl really well.
Were the guys in the dressing room slightly disappointed that a few of them made starts and couldn't go on?
Well, yeah, potentially. I think obviously when you get in those positions, you want to try and capitalise on it. But you know, potentially it shows that it's a wicket you're never quite in on. I think as well, Australia know a very good bowling attack who ask questions, you know, non-stop. And I think you had to bat well to try and to negate that. So I think it showed, there's, like I said before, it's a good cricket wicket. I think if you bowl well, you can get rewards. But if you bat well, the same.
I bet you Stuart Broad will be deep down thinking, what more can we do as a bowling unit? Having been, bear in mind, Stuart Broad have been there, done it, T-shirt, the whole lot, 120-odd test matches. I bet you Jimmy Anderson would be bouncing off the walls because he'd be thinking, right, you know, we've put our team in a position of strength on more than one occasion in this series and we haven't capitalised. Now we've got the perfect opportunity to maximise on a very, very good pitch to wear Australia down, get a score in excess of 400, because that's what the pitch was, you know, that's what the pitch was, how good the pitch was, and give us something to bowl at, because constantly we are bowling at 200, 250, and we are having to bowl, we haven't to take more risks than we would like to, rather than, like I said before, stay with a patience game, bowl a maiden from the other end, get two or three maidens in a row and put pressure on the opposition. England haven't been able to do that as a bowling unit because they're always searching for wickets because of scoreboard pressure and not having runs on the board.
Now, onto the sports bar, which, of course, is actually named Andy Goldstein's sports bar, although it's written here in front of me on this piece of paper, just sports bar. Well, it should be Andy Goldstein's sports bar, so obviously whoever wrote that, that'll be the last thing they ever write before they write out their details on their P45. But anyway, these were some of the best bits from Andy Goldstein's sports bar.
Right, Jay?
Whoa!
No, my friend. Press a button.
All aboard!
Tickets, please! It's going to be a good one, I can feel it. Rules are simple, very simple, very simple. Yet you still get it wrong, some of you plonkers out there. You can talk about whatever you like. It can't be sport, politics and religion. If it is sport, politics and religion, you'll hear this noise. And if you phone up and go, yeah, I went to get a pizza, right? And when I asked for the pizza, I said, what topping have you got? You'll hear that noise, all right?
Did you get your T-shirt? I sent the post.
What T-shirt did you send me?
A Georgie Best T-shirt.
No, I didn't get it.
Oh, she went to sport.
When did you send it, Carol?
She mentioned sport.
I sent it to you, direct to you.
Right. What address?
Bear with me a minute.
Okay, yeah, in your own time. It's only live.
A larger letter, wait.
Yeah.
To Talk Sport.
Yeah. What's the address, Kez?
SE1.
Yeah. Yeah.
8DJ.
Yeah. What address? Yeah, that's the postcode. What's the address there, Kez?
Is it 18 Hatfields?
Yeah. We're not there anymore, Carol. We moved 3 months ago.
I don't think the building's there anymore.
I don't know why I'm so. We must have.
Is it redirected?
Some kind of contingency plan.
No, no one's going to redirect it. Oh, no, wouldn't be stupid.
Carol, listen, I'll tell you what we do.
Yeah.
I don't know what we do.
No. There's nothing we can do. Well, I'll tell you what, Kaz. On the way, I'm all nipped down past there and I'll stick my head around the door.
There must be, Carol, I'll look into it this end. Call back on Tuesday of next week and I'll have an update for you. All right, Carol?
Yeah, because I'll tell you something, Andy.
Okay.
I hope we do well on Sunday.
Thank you, Carol. That's really kind of you.
I donated £10 to you.
Oh, legend, Carol. Yeah. How nice is that? That's really kind of you, Carol.
You didn't stick it in the post, did you? Kaz, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Did you send me a T-shirt?
No.
Why not?
Because you're a Chelsea fan.
Yeah, what's that got to do with it? You've just mentioned sport. Off she goes.
Oh, no, well, I can't.
No, she's gone. No, okay. She's gone.
Okay, Carol, we'll talk to you Tuesday. I've got to let you go for legal reasons. But that's it for another podcasty thing. Well done for listening. Congratulations. I mean, it's not that difficult. You just put your headphones on and just do nothing. I mean, the headphones do most of the work. I mean, you can't not hear it if it's going into your ears. That's why you put your headphones on your head in the first place. Anyway, a quick reminder that Derby against Cardiff in the Championship will be live on TalkSport 2 tonight, if you're listening on Friday, from 6 p.m. Make sure you join me live on TalkSport, actually, 9 p.m. on Sunday night for the Andy Goldstein's
Trans Europe Express, where it's me, Andy Brassel, and someone else whose name I can't remember yet. Well, they change it weekly. But anyway, that's it. Thanks for another podcasty listen. And I'll see you, well, I won't see you, but you understand what I'm saying, on next week's podcasts. Have a good one. Thanks for listening. Be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.